Yeah, good morning, John. Big announcement from the governor right now from the Thompson Center. Maybe we should dip in and find out what he's got to say. 96%
of our hospitalizations are among unvaccinated people. 95% of our deaths are among unvaccinated people. We are continuing to rely on experts at the CDC and IDPH, but you don't need to be an epidemiologist to understand what's going on here. This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. These are preventable deaths. And beyond the tragedy of losing lives for no reason, this also means inflicting serious damage on communities. That's because the regions with the lowest vaccination rates are the regions where there are fewer hospitals and lower hospital capacity. And those hospitals are sometimes the least well-equipped to handle cases as they become more acute. These are the ones currently getting hardest hit. In southern and east central Illinois, fewer than half of residents are fully vaccinated, compared with over 70% in suburban Cook County. And today, our seven-day rolling average for ICU bed availability in southern Illinois is 3%. 3%. During the spring surge, the lowest ICU bed availability anywhere in the state never dropped below 15%. Don't think hospitals in other regions aren't challenged by this current surge. They are. But they started out with greater capacity, and even with more ICU beds, they are seeing availability diminish every day. For all of our hospitals, in descending order of need, we're providing resources and staff to help. But to be frank, healthcare staff are in short supply, in part because hospitals in surrounding states we might draw staff from are in worse shape than Illinois. At the end of the day, as it has always been during this pandemic, the best way to manage this situation is for people and communities to prevent sickness by slowing transmission with masks and vaccinations. So if you're an elected leader from one of those highly infected communities and you're spending your time resisting masks instead of working to get your people vaccinated, then your definition of public service looks a whole lot different than mine. Earlier this month, I announced masks must be worn in all of our daycares, all our P-12 schools, and all our long-term care facilities, regardless of vaccination status. Another step to protect the most vulnerable among us, the elderly and unvaccinated children and their families. We also required vaccinations for all state employees who work in congregate facilities and encouraged the private sector to follow suit. Already, we've seen employers like Loyola Medicine, Northwestern Medicine, U of I Health, OSF Healthcare, Rush Medical, Southern Illinois Healthcare, Advocate, Aurora Health, Lurie Children's Hospital, UChicago Medicine, and Heritage Nursing do just that, and I thank them for their partnership. Unfortunately, our current vaccination levels are not enough to blunt the ferocity of the Delta variant hospitalization surges in some regions. Hospital administrators are asking for more help to manage the sheer number of incoming patients, who, I'll emphasize again, are almost exclusively individuals who have chosen not to get the life-saving vaccine. Hospital ICU beds are filling up once again. Our hospital leaders look at their counterparts in southern states where low vaccination rates mirror the Illinois communities they serve, and they fear the worst is yet to come for us. To put it bluntly, because of the Delta variant, hospitals are again fighting the battle that we had hoped would be behind us by now. I can't begin to imagine how frustrating this must be for them. They've spent 18 months on the front lines fighting this virus. The tool to bring an end to the pandemic, vaccines, is readily available. But your neighbors aren't taking it. Many, because they're being misled. And then these healthcare heroes have to put your own health and their families' lives at risk, having to take care of people who could have prevented their serious illness with a simple shot. Since the first COVID-19 vaccines were authorized last December, more than 8.2 million Illinoisans have received at least one dose of the vaccine. That's 76% of our eligible population, and when you factor in our under 12 population, 65.2% of our overall population. We are proudly the most vaccinated state in the Midwest. But what that statistic doesn't show is where our most vulnerable residents are the least protected. We have communities where the vaccination rate is in the teens or in the 20s, but their kids are just as deserving of safe in-person learning as those who are in the most protected communities. We have nursing homes where staff is less than 25% vaccinated, but those residents are just as deserving of a safe home as their counterparts in our most vaccinated facilities. Vaccination remains our strongest tool to protect ourselves and our loved ones, to restore post-pandemic life to our communities, and most crucially, to maintain our healthcare system's ability to care for anyone who walks through their doors that needs help. I'm sure that if people understood that being unvaccinated could take a hospital bed from an accident victim, they might go get vaccinated. Unfortunately, we are running out of time as our hospitals run out of beds. Today, I'm announcing a series of additional vaccine requirements aimed at protecting our most vulnerable residents, unvaccinated children and their families, and the ability of hospital systems to handle this surge. In Illinois, vaccines will be required for all P-12 teachers and staff, all higher education personnel, all higher education students, and healthcare workers in a variety of settings such as hospitals, nursing homes, urgent care facilities, and physicians' offices. Effective September 5th, individuals working in these settings who are unable or unwilling to receive their first dose of vaccine will be required to get tested for COVID-19 at least once a week, and DPH and ISBE may require more frequent testing in certain situations, like in an outbreak. The COVID-19 vaccine has been available to the public for many months. And in that time, we've watched many of our most vulnerable individuals do what they can to protect themselves and get vaccinated. But unvaccinated workers in the healthcare system and at nursing homes have driven the majority of the breakthrough hospitalizations that we've seen in Illinois, infecting elderly and immunocompromised residents who are the first to be hurt when their community isn't safe. Let me say that even more simply. If you're unvaccinated, you're getting the people in your care sick. It's one reason why they'll likely need booster shots, and it's why I'm instituting this vaccine requirement. I hope that more and more Illinoisans on the fence about the vaccine will get vaccinated as soon as possible. Remember, these vaccines are doing what they're designed to do, essentially to eliminate the risk of hospitalization and death. In the meantime, Illinois will join several other states that have reinstituted statewide indoor mask requirements, regardless of vaccination status, effective on Monday. Masks work, period. The quick spread of this disease in Illinois and across the country is holding us all back from the post-pandemic life that we so desperately want to embrace, and it's harming the most vulnerable among us. Hospital staff are becoming overwhelmed and overburdened. People are dying who don't have to die. To be clear, what I am announcing today is a floor. At a minimum, those who work in schools and healthcare settings should be vaccinated or tested, keeping our kids and our most vulnerable safe. For state workers in congregate facilities, we have put in place more stringent requirements to protect our most vulnerable, and I urge the private sector to do the same. A number of employers across the state have already instituted vaccine mandates, and others can and should take this critical health and safety step so that we can finally bring this pandemic to an end. We have a tool in our hands that will save lives. We are at a crossroads. So thank you. And with that, I would like to turn it over to our director of the Department of Public Health, Dr. Ngozi Ezike. Doctor?
Good morning. As of last night, 2,184 individuals in Illinois were reported to be in the hospital with COVID-19. And of those, 489 were in the ICU and 241 were on ventilators. It's been months and months since I've been reporting these numbers during press briefings, and I was hoping we'd never have to be here again. But right now, we're seeing 220 individuals being admitted to the hospital every day with COVID. The last time we saw this high a number was in May. Cases reported today are more than 40 times higher than the low that we appreciated earlier this summer. We are facing ICU hospital shortages. The ICU beds have run out, particularly in southern Illinois and parts of central Illinois, where the vaccination rates are the lowest. In Region 5, southern Illinois, the least vaccinated region of the state, there was only one ICU bed available on Tuesday. And that's not just one bed, one ICU bed for a COVID patient. That's one ICU bed in the entire region for the 20 counties that it serves for anyone, whether it's appendicitis, a car crash, any kind of injury that would need a bed. Most hospitals in different areas of the state are reaching capacity as well. The number of people in Illinois ICUs with COVID is seven times higher than it was at our low point this summer, just on July 7th. At the rate we're going, Region 5 will not have any ICU beds as soon as tomorrow, and potentially next week for Region 4. Regions 3 and 6 could run out of ICU beds in mid-September, if the number of people being admitted to the hospital every day continues at its current rate. Our poor healthcare workers have been in this stressful work environment for a year and a half, and they are tired and somewhat frustrated because we do have the tools that will help keep people out of the hospital. These hospitalizations are preventable, and vaccination is our tool. On Monday, the FDA approved the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for everyone 16 years and older. For people who were hesitant because the vaccine had, quote, not yet been approved or was, quote, experimental, that excuse is gone. I urge you now to go and get vaccinated. FDA's full approval of the COVID-19 vaccine after tens of thousands of clinical trial participants and months of real-world data should help reassure everyone who has concerns about getting vaccinated. But let's not forget the other effective tool that we had before we had vaccines, our masks. Wearing a mask continues to be one of the simplest, cheapest ways to reduce the spread of COVID-19. And there is robust scientific evidence that widespread use of masks, including the non-medical masks, do in fact prevent the spread of COVID-19. And with our kids in school who are too young to even be vaccinated, masking is the best way for them to actively protect themselves from COVID. For some schools, they've only been in for a few days or just a couple of weeks, and we've already seen outbreaks and kids being sent home because they weren't wearing masks. This includes an outbreak in the Carlisle School District in southern Illinois, where already dozens of students have tested positive and hundreds of students have been placed in quarantine. If we actually want our kids to be in school for in-person learning, masking is a great protection and our best bet. The bottom line is masks are effective. Vaccines are effective. But until more people are vaccinated, We need to take the steps to protect our healthcare workers, protect our hospital resources, and protect our most vulnerable. Thank you so much. I'm going to repeat these comments in Spanish.